Towards the end of Parshas Kisavo, we read the portion of the Tochacha, the rebuke. Moshe Rabbeinu gives a long and harsh account of all of the curses, the illness, the famine, the poverty, the exile that will befall the Jewish people if they abandon Hashem's Torah and mitzvos. There are 98 curses that are listed here. Cursed will you be in the city, cursed will you be in the field, cursed will be your fruit basket, cursed will be the fruit of your womb, the offspring of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep and goats. Hashem will send into your midst curse, confusion, worry. Back at the end of Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Pechukosai, we also had a Parsha of Tochacha. Over there in Shlishi, Moshe Rabbeinu also lists a list of punishments, diseases and famines, enemy occupation of the land of Israel. All of these severe and terrifying punishments, which will be the Jewish people's fate if they reject the mitzvos of Hashem. There are 49 curses listed over there. And these parshios sound very morbid, and nobody really enjoys to read them and to hear them. In fact, everybody tries to run away from getting this aliyah, and it's the Baal Kori that ends up making the brachos on this aliyah. But the strange thing is that after tens of psukim listing these terrifying punishments, the Torah ends off, Eila divrei habris, asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. These are the words of the covenant that Hashem commanded Moshe to seal with Bnei Yisrael in the land of Moab. Milvad habris asher karas itam b'chorev. Besides the covenant that he already sealed with them in Chorev, and that's referring to the Parsha of the Klalos in Parshas Pechukosai. A covenant? A strong bond? How is v'achalta pribitnecha basar b'necha v'nosecha? You will eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your own sons and daughters. How is that a bond and a covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Torah says here that the klalos of Parshas Pechukosai and the klalos of Parshas Kisavo are the bris, the covenant, the bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we look at the list of the curses, it sounds more like a Hashem that's angry with us, that wants to take revenge against us. How do these psukim create a bond? Rav Eliyahu Diskin explains with a mashal. When somebody signs a contract to buy a house or to start a business partnership with somebody, what's the most important clause in all of the contract? The most important clause in a contract is the one that says what each side has to pay if they don't follow through on their side of the deal. If the building isn't finished being built on time, what will be the contractor's fine? If the tenant doesn't get out of the apartment when the end of his lease is up, what's going to be his fine? And if the ramifications would be weak, then it's a very weak contract. Nothing is holding either side to keep their side of the bargain. And if this contract is important, and we want to really make sure that it happens, and we want it to be that there's no chance that this bond won't work out, then we have to make that the ramifications of breaking the contract are severe and intense and terrifying. And that will only be reflective of how important this contract really is. Otherwise, the building could just lay around, never being finished built, and the family will have no place to live. The clause which states the ramifications of breaking the contract is what upholds the entire deal. It's the thickness of the rope of the bond. It's the very knot itself. Otherwise, the contract isn't worth anything. The blessings and the curses that are listed in Parshas Pechukosai and in Parshas Kisavo are not just a list of rewards and punishments for keeping or breaking the mitzvos. It's not just what revenge Hashem will take against us if we don't listen to Him. It's actually the bris itself. It's the covenant. It's the bond. It's where we see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it that this bond won't be broken. It's a reflection of the eternal love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Jewish people. In Shir HaShirim and in many other places in Tanakh, we find that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is comparable to that of a husband and a wife. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, that was the Kiddushin. And when He brought us to Har Sinai and held it over our heads, that was the Chuppah, that was the Nisuin. But Chuppah and Kiddushin isn't enough to create a Jewish marriage. There's another element in Nisuin that without it, the husband and wife can't live together. The Ksuvah. The ksuva is the amount of money that the husband will need to pay the wife if he decides to break this contract and leave the marriage and divorce her. Chazal require this in every single marriage. They wanted to make a wall in front of getting divorced, that it shouldn't be easy for a husband to divorce his wife. And the greater the amount of money that's written in that ksuva, the stronger the bond of this marriage is. Chazal say that anybody that's with his wife without a ksuva, it's considered a be'ilas znus. It's like bia outside of marriage. Why? But they're married. They had kiddushin and nisuin already. The ksuva is an important idea, and it's very helpful to protect the woman at a time of divorce. But why a bia without it is considered znus? Furthermore, there's a famous gra that explains the Gemara in Sota, which says that ish v'isha zachu shchina shruya b'neihem, that when a husband and wife get married, if they merit it, then the shchina will dwell between them. And the Gemara goes on to show how in the word ish, there's a yud between the aleph and the shin. And in the word isha, there's a hey at the end of the aleph and the shin. And that's half of Hashem's name, yud kei. But Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, dwells between them. Where's the rest of his name? We have the yud and we have the hey, but where's the vav and then the second hey? And the Gra explains that the word ksuva is made up of the letters kasav, a written document, and a vav and a hey. And that's the rest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And it's only when the ish and the isha also have a ksuva binding them that we have the complete name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina dwells amongst them. In fact, the Gra explains the pasuk in Chayi Sara that writes the word pilag shim without a yud, so it looks like the word plag shame, half the name. And the Gra explains that when a person has a pilegesh, a concubine, who's not actually a wife because there is no ksuva, so that's considered a plag shame, a half of the name of Hashem, because it's missing the vav and the hey that's in the word ksuva. So from here also it sounds like a ksuva is not just the ramifications of what the husband will need to pay his wife if he divorces her, but there's something more integral and intrinsic and definitive of the bond between the husband and the wife that's found in the ksuva. That without that there's no hashra'as hashchina. That without that it's considered a biaznus. And the pshat is that the ksuva is the strength of the bond. It's what's holding them together. What's keeping them from separating? If the ramifications of divorce would be very small and minor, then this is not a strong enough bond and the Shechina won't dwell amongst them. The brachos and the klalos in Bechukotah and Kisavo is the ksuva between Klai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the clause which tells us what are the ramifications if Klai Yisrael don't keep their side of the bargain. And that's why the description of a bris is very appropriate for the parsha of the klalos. If somebody keeps the mitzvos and stays away from sin just because that's the tradition, and that's a really nice and pleasant way to live, but they don't live with a fear of punishment or an awaiting of reward hovering over their heads, the problem isn't only that they're not going to completely follow through on all of the mitzvos and they're going to find leniencies. The problem is that he's trying to live with the Kadosh Baruch Hu without a ksuva, without a real bond, without that clause which says what'll happen if you don't keep your side of the bargain. That's a lack in the entire relationship, even in the mitzvot that he does keep. And now we can understand why the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos refers to the Parsha in Kriyat Shema of V'haya im Shamoa as referring to the topic of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, accepting upon ourselves the yoke of the mitzvos. How is that Parsha referring to our accepting upon ourselves the mitzvos? All it says over there is what are the rewards and the punishments awaiting those that keep or break the mitzvos. But now we know that knowing the cost of breaking the contract and being aware of the severity of not keeping your side of the deal, that is the proper way to accept upon ourselves the yoke of mitzvos. Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. When we hear them this Shabbos, Emir Tashem, reading the Parsha of the Tokacha in Shul, besides for cringing when we hear of all the curses that await the Jewish people if they break the covenant, let's let it remind us of the unbreakable bond, the bris, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how important it is for us to maintain that bond.